Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
It's the 80th episode of the Melchester Odyssey, and it looks like we might be on the brink of finding out, Sam, who it was that shot Roy Race in the hair all those months ago. I mean, there's a very big clue at the beginning. There's always a little strap line at the top, isn't there, that gives you a little insight into what's coming in the issue, and it's just some speech marks, and someone says, "They're crazy! I don't even know how to fire a gun!" So, who's saying that? We will find out today, I hope. Little bit at the top there fills us in on what's been going on, and it says, "Fanatical fan Trevor Brinsden, one of the suspects in the search for the gunman who had tried to kill Roy, smuggled himself into Melchester Rovers' home match against Hunterford, but was spotted by irate Rovers fans. Roy dived into the crowd to rescue Brinsden and then left the ground midway through the second half." I mean, it all happened, didn't it? Last time out.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I gave the last one a 10 out of 10, mate. It was fucking madness.
Right too. Yeah. I think you were right too with hindsight. Can I retract my 9 and upgrade it to a 10?
A bit late
now. Or is it set in stone? No, I'm not allowed to.
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
You made your bed, now lie in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all right. I'll think twice next time. Yeah. I'll give it a bit more consideration before I grade an episode.
You were sloppy. Mm. You were sloppy.
I was. Something for us all to think about there. So, it resumes with a bit of action on the pitch. And Trevor Cassidy, the substitute, is on, which one of the fans tells us. Bit of exposition. "Trevor Cassidy, the substitute, has taken over where Roy left off." And he does. He puts a lovely cross into the box. "That's a beautiful ball to Paco Diaz." And Diaz hits it first time. Back of the net. And there it is. It's there. 3-0. Nice one, Paco.
Yeah, thanks.
You've assimilated to the English game very, very well.
You've adapted. You've assimilated. You've learned the language. You've made an effort, and that should be a template for all of our. I've got no problem with our foreign cousins coming to settle here, but you have to try to integrate with our ways of doing things.
You've turned your back on paella, and are now enjoying egg and chips from your main meals.
You speak English, and soon you shall shave your hair and get a neat haircut.
You still have the traces of a Spanish accent, but that will fade in time.
whatever.
And it says a less than enthusiastic roar had greeted the Spanish superstar's goal. Oh, what's that about? And he says, "Madre mía, maybe they get so used to see me scoring, they not get excited anymore." Well, he doesn't score that many, does he, compared to like Roy?
He doesn't get much of the ball, that's why.
He's confused because he's a Spaniard abroad. He doesn't understand what's going on here. And Blackie's there to explain. "It's got nothing to do with you, Paco. At any other time, the fans would have raised the roof. But this Trevor Brinsden business has got them guessing. Roy thinks he's figured out who tried to kill him now. And all the suspects are down at the police station. How the fuck does he know this?
Get them all back in there, mate.
Some major exposition there from Blackie. Yeah, they're all at the police station. How does Blackie know this? Do we? I have no idea. I don't know, but whatever. So then, at that moment, we cut to the police station. Roy's there with two detectives. And one of them says, "Roy, what you're asking is highly irregular. It's like something out of a Sherlock Holmes movie." So Roy's down there, and typical Roy, he's fucking taking over. He's doing their job for them. He's got a suggestion. We don't know what it is yet. But he thinks he can solve this crime better than they can. Which he just says. He says, "I know, Inspector, but none of the suspects have broken down under questioning so far. So what have you got to lose?" He's turned up. He's basically said, "Right, you're having no luck solving this crime. I'll do it for you. Here we go. Get a load of this.
Right, you put your fucking knickers on. You put the fucking kettle on. It's time for me to detective this.
Detective the fuck out of this." And so, moments later, into the room come five men. And Roy thinks, here they come. All the people who've threatened to get even with me for one reason or another. And I'm going to knock each and every one of the fuckers out one by one.
What a fucking parade of cunts. Look at them now.
I'm going to tie them all to a chair, douse them in petrol, and then cut their fucking ears off.
I've been thinking, I might get one of them to start torturing the other one. You know, like, say, right, I could give Brinston a knife and say, right, I want you to cut off Vic Guthrie's left ear. But if you don't, I am going to cut off your bollocks.
I'm basically God in this situation. You know what I could do? I could get them to kiss. That'd be
go
funny.
On. Now, go on. Wank him off, then. Wank him off. Why not?
You fucking... I tell you what. I'm getting angry now. You better fucking wank him off by the time I count to three, or something what? Fucking nasty's going to happen.
One word from me and you're doing 20 years anyway, so start wanking him. Do
start wanking
him.
And he'll be doing a lot worse than wank-offs in Nick, I tell you that. So get it over and done with.
You don't have to make him come. Just wank him for about 30 seconds.
Like, literally, 10 pumps. That's it. He shouldn't come off of that. Fucking hope not, anyway. He's a fucking kid. A fucking 2-pump pirate. You remember that? 2-pump pirate.
That's a t-shirt.
We used to say that all the time when we were kids. 2-pump pirate.
Oh God!
Fucking hell! We're like fucking Blackie. We were on a fucking knocking shop out in Prague when we had an away game in Europe. Fucking hell! I spent a fortune bailing him out. Fucking 2-pump pirate over there. I says, Blackie, you're wasting your fucking money. You're better off having one off the wrist before we come out.
So they're all in the room. Let's remind ourselves who they are, because I've forgotten. We've got that's Elton Blake at the front, the actor. Then there's Vic Guthrie, of course, the player. Arthur Logan, Kenny's dad. Then there's, that'll be Trevor Brinsden there, looking a bit beaten up. And then it's Arnie Meckiff, isn't it? Roy's cousin at the back. What a fucking gang.
What's the matter with you, Brinsden? What do you mean, what's the matter with me? I just had my fucking head kicked in at Mel Park. Fucking kangaroo court, mate. Fucking angry mob. I was only there watching the team. Angry mob fucking decided that I was the fucking murderer. Now, one of them's called me a filthy little killer. Next thing I know, they're just kicking the shit out of me.
I mean, to be fair, I had gone down there to finish him off, but...
But fuck's sake. How about habeas corpus, eh?
That's my line, you cunt. Shut up.
You didn't even know what that fucking meant till fucking 5 minutes ago, cunt. Sorry, Roy. And I was the one who stopped them fucking killing you.
You owe me a fucking apology, you cunt. A hush fell over the interview room as Roy's gaze roved the five suspects.
He thinks he's fucking Poirot. This is exactly what Poirot does at the end of fucking Murder on Nile and all that. He assembles all the suspects in one room. I've been watching that fucking Poirot. He's fucking cracking. I want to do the same routine with these cunts, so get them all together in an interview room. I'm going to walk about with my hands behind my back just like that cunt does.
I don't want it fucking recorded, though.
I'm going to say some pretty fucking wild things in there.
It might get fucking messy.
Get me a phone book, because I've seen in the Sweeney, if you bash someone about with that, it doesn't throw marks up.
A hush fell over the room. And Roy goes to Trevor Brinson first. Could it be you, Trevor? Our fans certainly seem to think so. And then Trevor says, they're crazy. I don't even know how to fire a gun. Roy turned to his villainous cousin, Arnie Mekov. That's his full title in this, isn't it? Villainous cousin, Arnie Mekov. And you had every reason for wanting to silence me, Arnie, especially after I threatened to expose your nasty little land racket. 9-year-olds reading this going, what's a land racket? Is it like a tennis racket? Do you dig with it? What is it?
Couldn't they have just fucking made his crime more straightforward and easy to understand? His was quite a complex white collar crime that was mainly based around admin and paperwork.
Yeah. And Arnie says, well, okay, but I'm not a murderer, sport.
Yeah.
Then it was the turn of former television star Elton Blake. Roy says, you must be bottom of the list of suspects, Blake. After all, you gave yourself up to the police, didn't you? And Blake, the actor, says, look, do we have to go through all this again? I've made a full statement.
Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be appearing in pantomime at the Melchester Royal this afternoon. A matinee performance, you know.
I'm supposed to be appearing in Run for Your Wife, the farce written by Ray Cooney at the Bradford Alhambra. Please release me. Do you remember they used to have that in the credits of TV shows? They would tell you which the star of the show was appearing in a play or something.
Really?
Yeah, they used to do that on like BBC.
They must have got that in their contract.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the agent must have said, we want written into the contract that you publicise his latest theatrical performances. Yeah.
Different times.
Yeah. Bad idea.
Yeah, we should do that at the end of this if we're appearing in anything.
Andy Dawson is currently appearing as Dick Whittington at the Sunderland Theatre Royale.
Oh, I wish. I don't know why I've not been asked to do pantomime by now. Oh, I mean, same goes for you.
Yeah, I would do it in a fucking shot.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly for the money, because it's apparently really well paid. But also...
Because... Fucking pantomime,
it's just
isn't
pantomime.
It?
And, I used to do the school plays when I was a kid, and I'm not joking, they're some of the happiest experiences of my life.
Mm-hmm.
They were just so much fun. It was fucking great.
Well, I mean,
great.
When we do our live shows, I see you come alive, Sam, in a way that you don't off stage.
I fucking love it. It's the smell of the grease paint, mate.
Of course it is.
I fucking love it.
Anyway, back to Elton Blake. And Roy says to Elton Blake, I'm more concerned with the statement you made on the way into the police station last week. I happened to be watching the television interview. And then it cuts back to Elton Blake going into the police station saying, if you think I'm the kind of person who goes around shooting football managers and tries to run people down on motorbikes.
I'm a trained actor. Do you think I have time to be engaging in that kind of tawdry activity?
I would only do that kind of thing if it was scripted. I'm highly prepared for. In fact, I'd have a stuntman do it for me.
Perhaps if I was cast as a criminal in an episode of Shoestring. That comes to mind because I narrowly missed out on just such a role earlier this year, much to my chagrin.
Yeah, Trevor Reeves, a good friend of mine, but I do not believe he is suitable for that role. It should have been mine all day long. And to play this bloody football manager.
He must have had something over the casting director, in my opinion.
It's not the first time, so of what I hear. And Roy says to him, that's what you said, wasn't it, Blake? Or would you like us to check it by asking for a copy of the film? And Blake just looks very nonchalant. He says, do what you like. What's so important about that interview anyway? Here we go. Here we go, Sam. Roy says, it's very important because apart from my wife, I didn't tell anyone about the motorcyclist who tried to run me down. Not even the police. Well, I mean, it was in Roy the Rovers. But apart from that, no one else knows. Fucking hell. Bombshell. He says, so how could you have known about it, Blake? Unless you were there at the time, riding that bike. Blake is speechless. He just goes, I. Race must have told somebody else. Maybe I read about it in the newspapers or saw it on television. So, and one of the detectives says, if you did, Mr. Blake, the police would have followed it up. Like we're going to do now.
Look at how much of a cunt this policeman looks.
Yeah.
I mean, look at his face. Horrible, yeah.
Like you don't have any. You don't have any Irish blood in you, do you, Mr. Blake? Sounds like an Irish name.
What are you talking about, man?
We've got a list of unsolved crimes which we suspect involve Irishmen.
We're looking into the local Celtic community.
So he says the police would have followed it up, like we're going to do now. Let's go. Blake says no. No, he's lying. Race is deliberately trying to destroy me like he did before. And he goes for Roy, and the detective, who is closer to Elton Blake than Blake is to Roy, rather than apprehend Blake, he just shouts, Roy, look out!
just warn him.
Yeah,
I mean,
he could
look out.
He could easily wrestle Blake to the floor, but no.
Look out, people in comics. One of the biggest sort of daft conceits is the use of look out. We forever are seeing bits where someone says look out about something that happens in a split second, but the other person registers the warning and manages to avoid the threat. Like I'm reading 1950s Roy, and there's this bit, and Roy's still a kid. And he's got a nemesis who's trying to sort of stitch him up all the time. And they're at a local fete in the village. And they're doing this shooting game where you have to whack balls at a wooden person, like in a shooting gallery. And Roy's been amazing at it and, like, got six in a row. And then he goes up to pick the wooden men up, right? And this other cunt, can't remember his name, Bertie or something, he comes out of nowhere and thinks, ah, here's my fucking chance. And he wallops a fucking ball, right, at Roy, right? He thinks, I'm going to fucking crack him in the back of the head, the cunt, right? And he fucking wellies this ball. But as Roy is, like, bending over to pick it up, he hears someone go, look out, Roy, Bertie's kicked a ball and it's going straight for your head. And Roy manages to manoeuvre himself out the way while simultaneously holding up the wooden effigy at such an angle that it purposely bounces the ball back at equal velocity straight into this kid's head, right? And it knocks the kid over. The kid falls back into a fucking stepladder that's there for some reason, and a paint pot full of red paint falls on the cunt's head. Right?
Get in.
And the kid's going, ah, oh, fucking joking, get it off me, get it off me. And Roy's all like, goody two shoes, like, oh, quick, get it off him. Like that. I didn't think that the paint would go on his head. I was just trying to teach him a lesson. And I'm thinking, what the fucking hell, right? He's whacked a ball. How long have you really smashed a ball hard? And it's only like, Roy's only like 15 yards away. How does he have time? And someone says, watch out, Roy. He spins himself around and works out the geometric fucking sums to, like, send the ball flying back in this kid's face. What I'm saying is,
I don't know, but I'm glad he does.
Yeah, it is.
That's
good.
All I'm saying. So there we are. That's the end of that one. But we're only halfway through the fucking episode, so we'll
do the next cunt.
And it says next week, it's a knockout. So we'll find out what happens very, very shortly. Marks out of 10 for that one. I'm going to give it 10.
Yeah, I'll give it 10. Things are really ramping up.
Because it looks as if we found out who shot Roy. Mm. It looks as if it was Elton Blake.
Unless there's a twist.
Yeah.
Jalapeño. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So we'll just carry on. Quickly at the top of the next issue, the following week, it says, at Melchester Police Station, the five men suspected of trying to gun down Roy were confronted by the Rovers player manager, who proved that television actor Elton Blake had made a previous attempt upon his life. Realising that he had been exposed as the would-be killer, Blake hurled himself at Roy. But it says Roy was more than ready for Elton Blake's sudden lunge. It's a sudden lunge.
the old sudden lunge technique.
It's me fucking meat and drink, this to me. A sudden lunge.
Lucky my mate, that's my fucking speciality, cunt.
I'm a fucking footballer.
Let me tell you, I've been suddenly lunged at more times than you've had fucking hot dinners. There's no cunt in Melchester who has been suddenly lunged at more than Roy Race. Right? This isn't my first fucking rodeo.
So there it is. Elton Blake, the actor, suddenly lunges at Roy. He says, you're lying, Race. You're trying to destroy me like you did before. Hang on, this is the frame we had in the last one. They're fucking recycling it here.
Yeah, lazy.
Fuck's sake. It's from a different angle, to be fair.
You can do that with drawings, though. You can do a drawing, and then you can just adjust the angle of it.
Just twist 360 it round, degrees. Don't you?
Yeah, you twist it and you just print it at a different angle.
Yeah. So there we are, and the inspector says, Roy, look out! As we heard in the last one, and Roy just has a fucking conversation with him. The sudden lunge seems to go in slow motion. Because Roy says, it's all right, Inspector. I'm not standing with my back to him this time. And he absolutely fucking clouts Blake right on the chin. A straight right-hander. You know, I mean, if this was on stage, we'd all be standing up and cheering. Fucking brilliant.
Yeah. It's really well drawn as well, because it has these sort of red shock lines all around. It's almost as if there's been an explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck, it is an explosion. When the old Racy fucking one-punch Racy goes to work, it's like a fucking nuclear bomb's gone off on your fucking jaw, you cunt.
An explosion of Roy Ray's violence.
Bang! You sparked, you cunt. That's what you get for a sudden lunge.
His head snaps back. He goes, ooh!
When I saw you on the floor doing a sudden lunge. That's Roy's little joke afterwards.
And even the other suspects all join in laughing.
Then I punch you in the gob and put you straight on your ass. Just a little joke there, cunt. But seriously, don't suddenly lunge at me again.
Take him away. Or anyone.
Anyone else want to fucking go? Thought not.
And Roy goes, sorry about that, but I think I've earned the right to take at least one punch at him.
Really weird logic. I've heard that right. I mean, my attitude is we all walk around in life wanting to punch people. But we live in a civilised world. You can't just punch people willy-nilly. You've got to earn the right. A credit, if you will, a punch credit. And that can be earned in various ways. Perhaps it's someone who's just repeatedly tried to kill you or has been eyeing up your missus consistently all evening in the pub. Right? Then you have earned the right to execute that punch that you've been dreaming of sometimes for years.
If it's a good punch, you can just call it quits. Let him go. But he says, I think I've earned the right to take at least one punch at him. And the inspector says, you saved us the trouble, Roy.
Fucking hell.
We were
going to
punch the cunt as well.
We were going to give him a fucking good going over in the witness room. Just because
we
didn't.
We were in 1982.
I don't know. He's an actor, slightly effeminate in some ways. So we thought, you know, we are early 80s policemen. We are duty bound to kick shit out of him, covering him in towels first. It was something I learned from a chief inspector I met at the Freemason lodge I attend. He's used it a great deal on innocent Irishmen.
All right, Constable, take him away. And it says, as Blake was hauled from the interview room, the inspector basically covers his arse at this point. He goes, he was always top of our list, right? Yeah, fuck off. No, he wasn't.
Yeah, we thought
he
it was him.
He didn't have a clue.
Yeah, I knew it was him. Yeah.
He says, although we've still got to establish beyond any doubt that he was responsible for the shooting, but I think we can break him down now. We're going to break him down.
Don't worry about that.
We're going to dismantle him. We're going to dismantle him psychologically. And then we might build him up again. We might not. Who knows? And Roy says, but why? Why did he try to kill me? And there's a nice close-up of the inspector's head there because he's got a long little speech. I understand that the television series about the Rovers was Blake's last chance of becoming a really big star. If he convinced himself that you had him removed from the series, need I say more, Roy? Well, yeah, lots of murders are carried out because of that kind of thing. People get the chance to become a big star and have it thwarted at the last minute.
Yeah.
So it's understandable.
The most common response in the showbiz industry to missing out on a good bit of work is to go on a killing spree.
Murder. Yeah. Yeah. So then we have Arnie Meckiff looking at all fucking smiles because he's got away with it. He puts his hand on the inspector's shoulder and he says, I told you it wasn't me, Inspector. So how about letting us out of here? Sorry, Mr. Meckiff. There's a little matter of trying to sell Australian swampland as valuable building plots. Ha ha! Get in.
What? Valuable what? Nah, you got the wrong mate.
You got the wrong Australian. It says it was Roy who had exposed his villainous cousin's bogus land agency. More jargon. More jargon for the 9-year-olds there.
Weird.
What's a land agency? Then Meckiff suddenly turns nasty. He says, I should have plugged you myself, Rice.
Listen to what Roy says, though.
Yeah. And you're nice to know too, Arnie.
But a really weird comeback.
Doesn't mean anything, does it?
Fucking classic, that was. That shot him up. Fucking zing. 1-0 racy.
And eventually the other suspects are gradually dispersed. It says, the other suspects were swiftly released. Brinsden's legged off down the road out of the police station as a copper tells him, and don't forget, Brinsden, you're still barred from the Rovers ground. Brinsden says, don't worry, I'm not going back there again. But then he thinks, not for a while anyway, but as soon as things have cooled down, I'll be back where I belong, rooting for the Rovers. And it says, Roy obviously hadn't seen the last of Trevor Brinsden, his greatest fan. So they're putting that there for the future. Keep an eye out for him coming back. I don't know if he does. I don't remember seeing him again. But we'll see. Vic Guthrie. Where the fuck's Vic Guthrie? Oh, he's coming out of the interview room. Vic Guthrie says, Roy, aye. I know he's not. He played for Wales, but he's not Welsh, is he?
No, he's like Vinnie Jones.
He's London.
Yeah.
Roy, aye. And he says, I know, Vic. It's all been pretty messy. After everything that's happened, there's only one thing I've got to say. See you at training next Tuesday, 9:30 sharp.
What? How about fucking sorry, you cunt?
Yeah.
I nearly fucking went down for murder, right? Mm. You should have fucking cleared my name a long time ago. I've been through hell. I haven't fucking slept in weeks. You know I'm on antidepressants. Yeah, the doctor gave them to me, right? My missus couldn't take it anymore. She's fucked off, right?
I've been training.
I've been suspended from training, which means somehow you saw to it that my wages were suspended, right?
I've put on a stone.
My kids won't look at me because the other kids in the playground have been saying your daddy's a murderer, right?
He's a filthy little killer.
My life has gone to shit, Roy. And you could have taken all that away, but you didn't. And now, not so much as an apology, you've just told me to turn up for work next week. Well, take it or leave it, sunshine. You know
I'll
me.
I'll take it.
Roy Race never apologises.
Habeas corpus.
Yeah, habeas corpus, sunshine. No retreat, no fucking surrender. See you at training. Yeah, it did get a bit messy. I will admit it got a bit messy, right? But that's all I'm willing to admit.
It was just admin, that's all. Life admin. But if you don't turn up on Tuesday, you're fired.
And I will personally see to it that you will never work in top flight football again.
Or entertainment of any kind. Including circuses.
Well, there'll be no more mention of this ever.
And it says Roy still had a big problem to deal with, and it's Arthur Logan getting into his car at the police station. Mr. Logan, wait! Surely now we can come to an understanding about Kenny. Because, of course, Mr. Logan doesn't want Kenny to play for the Rovers, even though he's one of their top players. He's he must be earning a lot of money, fulfilling his dream as a footballer, but Arthur Logan still doesn't want him to be a footballer. Logan says,
"Football.
I've nothing to say to you, Reese. The fact remains that you enticed my son away from me. You are, in essence, a groomer, a nonce.
If you came up north of the border, we would deal with you in the traditional way that we have always dealt with predators of your ilk."
He
can leave the club any time he likes for all I fucking care.
Are you familiar with border reavers? They are the men who used to go over the border into Scotland and steal cattle and sheep. We have methods of dealing with them. Suffice it to say, you are not welcome in Scotland again, Mr. Rees.
Right. To put a finer point on it, we would burn you alive, tied to a stake, as if you were a witch.
Inside a wicker man of our own making.
You can fucking try. You wouldn't be the first, and I doubt you'd be the last. Fucking burn old Racy here.
Fucking hell, it gets very fucking freaky in a minute. Roy says he can leave this club any time he likes. All I ask is a few moments of your time before you go back to Scotland. So then it cuts back to Mel Park. It says, at Mel Park, where Rovers were playing Hunterford in a league game, the match had developed into an untidy midfield battle. Because Roy's not there, you know, to spark any excitement and skill. A fan says, another bad pass from Kenny Logan. He must be wondering what the heck is happening down at the police station. They're all worrying about it. That's why the game is such a shambles. The fucking 3-0 up. They're perfectly entitled to just knock it about for the last 20 minutes or
these
whatever.
These fucking fans, are like they're born, man.
We want seven. We want seven. And then Blackie sees someone up in the stands in the upper tier. He says, someone's waving from the stand. By glory, it's Roy. He's back. The fucking match is still going on. Roy's been down to the police station, solved the crime.
I just solved the fucking crime of the century, cunts. Might have another run out for the last 5 minutes, sub myself back on. Can't see the ref fucking objecting.
Fucking hell. How long is this match going on for? I think that's Noel Baxter. Actually, Kenny Logan might be Noel Baxter.
I get this as well. I fucking walked both ways. I didn't even drive.
I jogged.
Didn't take the chopper either. And I'm wearing my normal town shoes, but I still managed to do a decent time.
And Noel Baxter says, and look who he's brought with him. It's Kenny's father, Arthur Logan. Roy has brought Arthur Logan along. Roy's substituted himself, got off the pitch, presumably got showered.
He looks like he showered.
Changed into his civvies.
Yeah.
Gone down to the police station.
Solved the
crime, punched fucking Elton Blake in the face, had a little chat with all the other suspects, and then got back to Mel Park in time for the end of the game.
With old man Logan in tow.
With old man Logan with
right, cons,
in tow.
And I look a fucking $1 million. Have you seen the fucking... Fair. Have you seen Miss Suede town coat? Look at his suede coat that he's wearing. It's look lovely, at that. Feel that, cunt. Yeah, that's real fucking sheep, that. Now, bodge up and let me and fucking this cunt Logan sit down for a minute, will you?
And he's got Logan alongside him, behind him, Logan looking shamefaced as if he's been arrested. But no, it's Kenny's father, Arthur Logan. If Roy is hoping to convince him that professional football is a worthwhile career, he couldn't have picked a worse game. They're playing like hell. Shit.
Do you remember Logan turned up at Roy's house a while back?
Yeah.
And he was drunk at the gates, and he was, yeah, with his wife. And I'm just trying to remember whether we embellished it or whether it was actually true that he smelt of whiskey.
I think we just assumed he was.
I think that someone said he smells of drink or something right. like that. But it was clear right. that he'd driven all the way from Scotland and just rocked up outside Roy Race's house
yeah.
and started shouting the odds. And he swung a punch at Roy, but missed.
He did. Are you suggesting he arrests him for that, or does Roy owe him a punch now for that?
I think I've earned the right to give him at least one good fucking punch.
I've got
to
do it in the centre circle, come on.
I'm going to knock your head off. Now listen, remember I told you I'm fine for your son to fuck off any time. I just want a little bit of your time. At the ground. I didn't tell you what for. Well, here's the big reveal, cunt. I'm going to fucking punch your head off in the centre circle. Then I want you and your daft kid to fuck off. He's been upstaging me anyway, the cunt.
So there it is. That's the end of that one.
Sparko! Bang! Now Arthur I'm going to do Logan's a lap of honour.
Arthur Logan's going to get a lesson in the reality of football. So we'll see. There it is. So Mark said 10 for that one?
10,
yeah, absolutely. 11, if you can give yeah. 11 for something. Else.
Fucking classic Roy.
Unbelievable.
Love it. Well, there we go. Another Roy in the bag as we creep ever closer to the denouement of this great annual.
Well, I mean, I don't know how the annual finishes. I think it just fizzles out, doesn't it?
Because no, it ends on a cliffhanger.
Does it?
It ends on a cliffhanger that I, for years, having owned this book for over 10 years now, I have yeah. never known what happens after the end of this book. But I'm going to find out because you've got the fucking comics.
I have got the key that will unlock the secrets.
Yeah, lovely.
As Urban Cookie Collective might have sung. that's it from this one. A double header. Enjoyed that. Lots of action. No talk of walls, but lots of talk about football and crime solving. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back for the post-investigation episode. See if everything will get back to normal after this.
I mean, there's still twists left in the tale. It's worth mentioning
as well.
Oh, yeah,
there always is. It's Roy the Rovers.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's ever dull. But all I can say is thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.